This recording is a service of the Allen County Public Library's audio reading service. It is specifically designed for and directed to people who have visual, physical, learning, or language challenges to reading traditional printed materials.
Welcome to News in Review, coverage of the national and world news stories that we don't have time to read during the week. Don't miss out on important information from around the globe. Get it all on News in Review, coming up next on your audio reading service.
Welcome. This is News in Review, and I'm your reader, Jessica, with the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Today, I'll be reading national and world news articles from the Journal Gazette, copyright 2025, from September 25th to October 1st. Beginning now with September 25th, Typhoon battles Hong Kong after Taiwan, Philippines hit. Shenzhen, China. Typhoon Ragasa, one of the strongest storms to hit Asia in years, whipped waves taller than lampposts onto Hong Kong promenades and turned seas rough on the southern Chinese coast on Wednesday after leaving deadly destruction in Taiwan and the Philippines. In Taiwan, 17 people died after floods submerged roads and carried away vehicles in one county, and 10 deaths were reported in the northern Philippines. Nearly 1.9 million people were relocated across Guangdong Province, the southern Chinese economic powerhouse. A weather station in Quandao Town recorded maximum gusts of about 150 miles per hour at noon, a high in Jingmen City since record-keeping began. State broadcaster CCTV said the typhoon made landfall along the coast of Hailing Island and Zhangjiang City at about 5 p.m., packing maximum winds of 89 miles per hour. Violent winds battered trees and buildings with torrential rain, lowering visibility. Video from China's state-run Xinhua News Agency showed. The typhoon is forecast to keep moving west, prompting the suspension of some train services in Guangxi region today. Chinese officials allocated tens of millions of dollars for relief efforts. Schools, factories, and transportation services were initially suspended in about a dozen cities, but a few of them distant from the landfall location were preparing to resume work as winds weakened. The fierce winds brought by Ragasa, once a super typhoon, woke Hong Kong residents in the early hours, and many went online to describe scenes like a kitchen ventilation fan being blown down and a crane swaying. Strong winds blew away parts of a pedestrian's bridge's roof and knocked down hundreds of trees across the city. A vessel crashed into the shore, shattering a row of glass railings along the waterfront. Areas around some rivers and promenades were flooded, including cycling lanes and playgrounds. At several promenade restaurants, furniture was scattered chaotically by the winds. 90 injured people were treated at hospitals. A video that showed waves of water crashing through the doors of a hotel and flooding its interiors went viral in the financial hub. The hotel was not immediately commented on the incident. Hong Kong and Macau, a nearby casino hub, canceled schools and flights, with many shops closed. Hundreds of people sought refuge in temporary centers in each city. Streets in Macau turned into streams with debris floating on the water. Rescue crews deployed inflatable boats to save those who were trapped. The gambling city's local electricity supplier suspended its power supply in some flooded low-lying areas for safety. As the winds eased, some waded into flooded streets to catch fish. Hong Kong's observatory said Ragasa had maximum sustained winds near the center of about 120 miles per hour and skirted around 62 miles to the south of the city. The observatory said Ragasa is the strongest tropical cyclone in the northwestern Pacific and South China Sea region so far this year. Preliminary analysis showed it also ranks as the second strongest one in the South China Sea region since the observatory's record-keeping began in 1950, tying with Typhoon Salalah in 2023, and Yagai in 2024, it said. Continuing with September 25th, at UN Climate Summit, China declares new goal for cutting carbon emissions, United Nations. With China leading the way by announcing its first emissions cuts, world leaders said Wednesday they are getting more serious about fighting climate change and the deadly extreme weather that comes with it. At the United Nations High-Level Climate Summit, Chinese President Xi Jinping announced the world's largest carbon-polluting country would aim to cut emissions by 7% to 10% by 2035. China spews more than 31% of the world's carbon dioxide emissions, and they have long been soaring. The announcement came as more than 100 world leaders gathered to talk of increased urgency and the need for stronger efforts to curb the spewing of heat-trapping gases. With major international climate negotiations in Brazil 6 weeks away, the United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres convened a special leaders' summit Wednesday during the General Assembly to focus on specific plans to curb emissions from coal, oil, and natural gas. In a video address, Xi pledged that China would increase its wind and solar power sixfold from 2020 levels, make pollution-free vehicles mainstream, and basically establish a climate-adaptive society. Europe then followed with a less detailed and not quite official new climate change fighting plan. Ursula von der Leyen, president of the European Commission, said their infrastructure and investment in renewable energy and the price of carbon had all increased, and their emissions are down nearly 40% since 1940. Last week, member states agreed that their nationally determined contribution would range between 66% and 72%, and that they would formally submit their plan before the November negotiations, she said. Xi and Brazil's leader also took thinly veiled swipes on Thursday afternoon at President Donald Trump's attacks a day earlier on renewable energy and the concept of climate change. Quote, "While some country is acting against it, the international community should stay focused on the right direction," Xi said. Brazilian President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, who is hosting the upcoming climate conference, said, quote, "No one is safe from the effect of climate change. Walls at borders will not stop droughts or storms," Lula said. Quote, "All of us may lose because denialism may actually win," he concluded. Guterres said, quote, "The science demands action. The law commands it. The economics compel it. And people are calling for it," unquote. Marshall Islands President Hilda Hine said she was there to issue a demand for us all to wake up from a community whose hospitals and schools are being destroyed by rising tides. She said she has regularly been awakened by floods and drought emergencies in her small island nation, and that will soon be others' turn. Quote, "If we fail to wake up now and end our dependence on fossil fuels, the leaders of every country in this room will be woken up by calls about catastrophes of wildfires, of storms, of heat waves, and of starvation and drought," she said. Under the 2015 Paris Climate Accord, 195 nations are supposed to submit new, more stringent 5-year plans on how to curb carbon emissions from the burning of coal, oil, and natural gas. The next article, also from September 25th, is titled "Drone from Yemen's Rebels Hurts 22 in Southern Israel." Jerusalem. A drone launched by Yemen's Houthi rebels wounded 22 people in the southern Israeli city of Eilat on Wednesday, according to medics. It was a rare breach of Israel's sophisticated missile defenses, which have greatly limited casualties from such attacks. In the Gaza Strip, at least 41 Palestinians were killed by Israeli fire, according to local hospitals. President Donald Trump's Mideast envoy expressed optimism over a new plan for ending the war. Without saying what it entails or if Israel or Hamas have accepted it. Iran-backed Houthi rebels in Yemen have regularly fired drones and missiles at Israel and attacked international shipping in what they say is support for the Palestinians. A vast majority of the drones and missiles fired at Israel have been shot down or fallen in open areas without wounding anyone. The Houthis said in a statement that they had fired two drones at Israel. Israel had carried out retaliatory airstrikes on Yemen after past attacks, and Defense Minister Israel Katz, in a post on X, warned the Houthis that, quote, "anyone who harms Israel will be harmed sevenfold," unquote. The Israeli military said it had tried to intercept the drone. The Megan David Adam Rescue Service said the wounded were taken to a nearby hospital, two of them with severe shrapnel injuries to their limbs. In Gaza, at least 22 people were killed when an Israeli strike hit tents sheltering displaced people in Gaza City, according to Dr. Fidel Niem, director of the Al-Ali Hospital, which received the casualties. Three children and nine women were among those killed. Continuing on with the September 26th edition of the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette, outdated alert system cited an L.A. wildfire response. Los Angeles. A lack of resources and outdated policies for sending emergency alerts led to delayed evacuation warnings as flames began consuming neighborhoods during deadly Los Angeles area wildfires in January, according to an outside review. The independent after-action report, produced by the consulting firm McChrystal Group, was commissioned by Los Angeles County supervisors just weeks after the Eaton and Palisades fires killed more than 30 people and destroyed thousands of homes in and around Pacific Palisades and Atlantia. The report released Thursday says a series of weaknesses, including outdated policies, inconsistent practices, and communication vulnerabilities, hampered the county's response. Interviews with survivors and an Associated Press analysis of available data found evacuation orders for some neighborhoods of Altadena where the Eaton fire swept through came long after houses burned down. AP reporting also showed similar delays for the Palisades fire through the Los Angeles Police Department initially handled evacuation management. The report sheds more light on flaws in the county alert system. The report cites critical staffing shortages, including a high number of sheriff's department vacancies in an under-resourced Office of Emergency Management. In addition, first responders and incident commanders were unable to consistently share information due to unreliable cellular connectivity, inconsistent field reporting methods, and the use of various unconnected communication platforms. Quote, "while frontline responders acted decisively and, in many cases, heroically in the face of extraordinary conditions, the events underscored the need for clear policies, stronger training, integrated tools, and improved public communication," unquote, the report says. It is not intended to investigate or assess blame, county officials said in a news release. The Office of Emergency Management began putting together its staffing plan for predicted heavy winds January 3rd, 4 days before the Palisades and Eaton fires ignited. But an experienced staffer had been sent out of town for a training event. That meant several less knowledgeable staffers were in key positions, according to the report. They were also working with some new emergency notification software provided by an existing vendor. The county signed the expanded contract with emergency alert company Genasys in November, just before the holidays. Only four staff members were trained on Genasys when the fires hit, according to the report. The review also found that the process to communicate an evacuation decision to the public was slow, convoluted, and involved multiple leadership roles across county-level departments. In the case of the Palisades Fire, the Los Angeles County Fire Department and Sheriff's Department identified areas that required evacuation. They then communicated those areas to a member of the county's Office of Emergency Management at the Incident Command Center. This person then made a phone call or sent a text message to another OEM staffer located in the Emergency Operations Center, who then updated the system put in place by the third-party vendor and triggered an alert to the public. During the January inferno, according to the report, this process took between 20 and 30 minutes. Many of the county's methods to alert the public require opting in. Some of the evacuation alerts required residents to click a separate link to get complete information. The Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors is scheduled to review the 133-page report when it meets on Tuesday. The next article is titled, Trump Says China's Xi Approved Deal for U.S. to Own TikTok. President Donald Trump has signed an executive order that he says will allow TikTok to continue operating in the United States in a way that meets national security concerns laid out by the law. President Joe Biden signed legislation last year calling for China's ByteDance to sell TikTok assets to an American company by early this year or face a nationwide ban. But Trump has repeatedly signed orders that have allowed TikTok to keep operating. Much is still unknown about the actual deal, but Trump said Thursday that Chinese leader Xi Jinping has approved it. The Chinese embassy in Washington didn't immediately respond to a request for confirmation. About 43% of U.S. adults under the age of 30 say they regularly get news from TikTok, higher than any other social media app, including YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram, according to a Pew Research Center report published Thursday. Under the terms of the deal that have so far been revealed by the White House, the new app will be spun off into a new U.S. joint venture owned by a consortium of American investors, including Oracle and investment firm Silver Lake Partners. The investment group's total stake in the new venture would be around 80%, while ByteDance is expected to have a 20% or smaller stake in the entity. The board running the new platform would be controlled by U.S. investors. ByteDance will be represented by one person on the board, but that individual will be excluded from any security matters or related committees. Continuing with the next article, Trump calls for action on left-wing terrorism. President Donald Trump on Thursday directed his administration to crack down on backers of what he dubbed, quote, left-wing terrorism, unquote, naming two top Democratic donors as he alleged without evidence a vast conspiracy to finance violent protest against the government. Trump's directive put the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force in the lead and said the effort would span agencies across the administration, including the Treasury Department, quote, to identify and disrupt financial networks that fund domestic terrorism and political violence, unquote. When pressed by a reporter to name any possible targets, he suggested two of the Democratic Party's top donors, billionaires George Soros and Reid Hoffman. In a statement before Trump's announcement, Soros Open Society Foundation said its activities are peaceful and lawful. Hoffman, who helped start PayPal and the networking site LinkedIn, could not immediately be reached for any comment. Next, Pell Grant change draws opposition. A proposal to brand a new type of federal Pell Grant as, quote, Trump grants, unquote, has sparked pushback from Rhode Island lawmakers who want the program to retain the name of its creator, the state's longest-serving U.S. senator. The name change is tucked inside a House spending bill for the U.S. Departments of Labor, Health and Human Services, and Education for the upcoming fiscal year. Rhode Island's congressional delegation this week argued that the proposal would, quote, erase Senator Pell's name from a program that has uplifted generations and replace it with a president whose record on education is defined by cuts and dismantlement is a profound insult to that legacy. Unquote. For the final article of September 26th, RFK Jr. says FDA may restrict abortion pill. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is vowing to carry out a new government study of abortion medication that could lead to further restrictions on the drug that is the main method of ending pregnancies nationwide. Kennedy told a group of Republican states that the Food and Drug Administration will probe whether mifepristone should face new guidelines. Continuing on with the next article, Nexstar, Sinclair, Restore, Kimmel. Nexstar Media Group and Sinclair Broadcast Group brought Jimmy Kimmel's late-night talk show back to their local TV stations on Friday night, ending a days-long TV blackout for dozens of cities across the U.S. The company suspended the program September 17th over remarks the comedian made in the wake of conservative advocate Charlie Kirk's killing. Disney-owned ABC suspended Kimmel the same day, following threats of potential repercussions from the Trump-appointed head of Federal Communications Commission. The company's dual moves Friday mean Jimmy Kimmel Live will return to local TV on Nexstar's 28 ABC affiliates, from Topeka, Kansas to New Orleans, along with Sinclair's 38 local markets from Seattle to Washington, D.C. Kimmel's suspension lasted less than a week, while the affiliate blackout stood for just over a week. When the boycott began, Sinclair, which is known for its conservative political content, called on Kimmel to apologize to Kirk's family and asked him to, quote, make a meaningful personal donation, unquote, to Turning Point USA, the nonprofit that Kirk founded. When Kirk was killed, Kimmel called it a senseless murder, and shared a message of support for his family and other victims of gun violence on social media, which he reiterated during his Tuesday return. Maryland-based Sinclair and Texas-based Nexstar continued to preempt the show for 3 days, even after ABC and Disney returned it to national airwaves. In a statement Friday, Sinclair pointed to its responsibility as local broadcasters to provide programming that serves the interest of our communities, while also honoring our obligations to air national network programming. The company added that it had received, quote, thoughtful feedback from the viewers, advertisers, and community leaders, unquote. Sinclair said its proposals to Disney to strengthen accountability, feedback, and dialogue, and appoint an ombudsman had not yet been adopted. In a similar statement Friday, Nexstar said it appreciated Disney's approach to its concerns and that it, quote, remains committed to protecting the First Amendment, unquote, while airing content that is, quote, in the best interest of the communities we serve, unquote. Continuing with the next article, Frontline grows as Russia changes tactics. The front line on the battlefield in Ukraine has grown in length to nearly 800 miles, stretching Kyiv's defenses, while Russian forces employ a new tactic of sending swarms of small assault groups to infiltrate Ukrainian lines, Ukrainian's top military commander says. The line of contact has grown by roughly 120 miles over the past year, and Ukrainian forces are averaging between 160 and 190 combat engagements every day with Russia's bigger army. General Oleksandr Sirskayi said in an interview of the battlefield situation. At the same time, Russian tactics have switched from the start of the summer from costly large-scale offensives to deploying small assault groups in a new approach that Sirskayi called, quote, thousand cuts tactic, unquote. Russian forces have been trying to engulf Ukraine with sheer weight of numbers and relentless barrages of drones, missiles, artillery, and devastating glide bombs. Though they have slowly pushed Ukrainian defenses back in rural areas, the Russian army has failed to conquer cities that constitute defensive strongholds. Europeans discuss setting drone wall. Meanwhile, European defense ministers agreed Friday to develop a drone wall along their borders with Russia and Ukraine to better detect, track, and intercept drones violating Europe's airspace. The decision comes after a spate of incidents in which Europe's borders and airports have been tested by rogue drones. Russia has been blamed for some of them, but denies that anything was done on purpose or that it played a role. Quote, Russia is testing the EU and NATO, and our response must be firm, united, and immediate, EU Defense Commissioner Andrius Kubilis said after chairing a virtual meeting of 10 countries on Europe's eastern flank. Ukrainian and NATO officials also took part in public talks. Kubilis said the drone shield could take a year to build and that envoys from the countries would meet soon to develop a detailed conceptual and technical roadmap on the way ahead. The top priority is an effective detection system, he said. Finland, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, and Poland have been working on a drone wall project, but in March, the European Commission, the EU's executive branch, rejected a joint Estonia-Lithuania request for funds to set one up. Things have changed this month, though. NATO jets scrambled on September 10th to shoot down a number of Russian drones that breached Polish airspace in an expensive response to a relatively cheap threat. Airports in Denmark were temporarily closed this week after drones were flown nearby. Quote, the hybrid war is ongoing, and all countries in the European Union will experience it. Polish Defense Minister Władysław Kosiniak-Kamysza told reporters in Warsaw on Friday. Ohio congressman sees hope for Kyiv. Just back from a congressional delegation trip to Ukraine, a senior Republican said he's more optimistic that the country can succeed in the war with the right support from the U.S. and other allies, and he urged Congress to pass a long-stalled Russia sanctions bill as soon as possible. Rep. Michael Turner of Ohio, a member of the House Armed Services Committee who led a bipartisan delegation to Ukraine, Poland, and Germany, is urging Speaker Mike Johnson to swiftly hold a vote on a widely supported sanctions proposal. The measure would slap steep tariffs on countries buying Russia's oil, gas, and other exports as a way to curb the cash flow that is fueling its industrial production and war machines. Turner said President Donald Trump is right. Ukraine can succeed in winning back territory from Russia, quote, with the right support, and that's the caveat. What you see on the ground in Ukraine is this really is an issue of math, unquote, Turner said at a briefing in Washington. Quote, Russia's economy is allowing them to produce the weapons of war, and those weapons of war are resulting in the murderous battlefield in Ukraine, he said. Quote, and the only way you're going to be able to impact that is to turn the spigot off of the Russian economy, and that's going to impact their ability to wage war on Ukraine, unquote. Continuing with the next article, Russia may help China invade Taiwan. Russia is selling military equipment and technology to China that could help Beijing prepare an airborne invasion of Taiwan, according to an analysis of leaked Russian documents by a UK-based defense and security firm. The Royal United States Institute's analysis is based on around 800 pages of documents, including contracts and list of equipment to be supplied by Moscow to Beijing from the Black Moon Hacktivist Group, which previously published some of the documents online. It does not identify its members, but describes itself in a manifesto as opposed to governments that carry out aggressive foreign policy. The authors of the RUSI report shared some of the documents with the Associated Press and say they appear to be genuine, although parts of the documents may have been omitted or altered. AP is unable to independently verify their authenticity. Memphis learns about Guard deployment. For 2 weeks, Memphis has been bracing for an influx of National Guard troops after Donald Trump announced his intention to deploy them to the city. On Friday, residents finally learned more about that plan, and it looks to be very different from the deployments in Los Angeles and Washington, D.C. Tennessee Governor Bill Lee said Friday that the troops will be part of a surge of resources to fight crime in the city that includes 13 federal agencies and state troopers. The National Guard troops will be from Tennessee, and they will be deputized by the U.S. Marshals Service to support local law enforcement in the majority black city. The Republican governor said the troops will not make arrests and will not be armed unless local law enforcement officials request it. Continuing on to September 30th, NASCAR's president fires government after Gen Z protest. Madagascar's president, Andre Rolina, fired the prime minister and the rest of his government Monday in response to days of deadly Gen Z-led protest in the Indian Ocean island over the failure of the electricity and water supplies. Rolina said in a speech on national television that the prime minister, Christian Nitze, and other government officials would stay on an interim basis until a new government is formed. He invited applications for government positions and gave a 3-day time frame to review proposals for a new prime minister. Quote, "Your demands have been heard, and I apologize if there are members of the government who have not done the work that the people expected," Rolina said. The protesters had called for the resignation of both Nitze and Rolina, but Rolina gave no indication that he would step down. The protest against chronic electricity and water cuts began on Thursday and drew thousands onto the street, prompting the government to order a nighttime curfew in the capital, Antananarivo, and other major cities. The demonstrations gathered momentum on social media and have mirrored recent youth-led anti-government protests in Nepal and Kenya. The United Nations Human Rights Office said earlier Monday that 22 people had been killed in clashes surrounding the protest. The UN agency blamed a violent response by security forces. More than 100 people also have been injured in the protest, the agency said. Protesters and bystanders were killed by security forces, but some of the deaths also came in violence and looting by gangs not associated with the protesters, the UN Rights Office said in a statement. UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Volker Turk, was shocked, quote, at the violent response by security forces to the ongoing protest in Madagascar, unquote, the UN Rights Office said. It said the protest began peacefully on Thursday, quote, but the security forces intervened with unnecessary force, lobbing tear gas and beating and arresting protesters. Some officers also used live ammunition, unquote. Madagascar Foreign Minister Rasta Rivarafar of Vitafika disputed the UN's death toll in a statement. Yet Madagascar authorities have not given any figures of their own for how many people died or were injured. Rolina said that he sympathized with anyone who had lost a loved one in the protest, but also didn't offer a death toll on Monday. Thousands of protesters had returned to the streets in Antananarivo and other cities early on Monday, prompting security forces to again fire tear gas at the crowds. Over the last 5 days, protesters have barricaded roads with burning tires and rocks, while several stations for Antananarivo's new cable car public transport system were set on fire. Continuing with the next article, Marine veteran charged in NC shooting in court. A decorated Marine veteran charged with firing an assault rifle from a boat at a waterfront bar in North Carolina, killing 3 people and wounding 5, appeared subdued in court Monday as prosecutors said they may seek the death penalty. Nigel Edge, 40, a Purple Heart recipient whose last assignment was with a Wounded Warrior battalion, made his first court appearance via video link after Saturday's mass shooting. He's charged with murder, attempted murder, and assault. Law enforcement officials, quote, got the confession, unquote, from the suspect following his arrest, said North Carolina State Bureau of Investigation Director Chip Howley At the news conference Monday, he did not elaborate. Five people remained hospitalized from the violence in Southport, a historic port town about 30 miles south of Wilmington. None of the victims' identities have been released. District Attorney John David said his office had yet to review medical records, but described Edge as having, quote, significant mental health issues, unquote, after experiencing a traumatic brain injury, according to WECT News. Authorities said Edge piloted a boat close to the shore, stopped briefly, and opened fire at a crowd of vacationers and other patrons in what Southport Police Chief Todd Corrin called, quote, highly premeditated, targeted attack, unquote. He was arrested about a half hour later after a U.S. Coast Guard crew spotted him pulling a boat from the water at a public ramp on Oak Island, where he lives. Edge requested a court-appointed attorney and declined to comment during his appearance in Brunswick County Court, WECT News reported. He showed no obvious emotion, as the district attorney said his office would review whether the death penalty is appropriate. No plea was entered. Edge was ordered to remain in custody, pending his next court hearing scheduled for October 3rd. Edge, who was born in Suffern, New York, and changed his name from Sean Debevoise in 2023, told police he was injured in combat and suffers from post-traumatic stress disorder, Southport's police chief said. Oak Island Police Chief Charles Morris said Edge was known to officers who frequently saw him by the town pier, and that Edge filed numerous lawsuits against the department and town in recent years. In one, he sought body camera video from an encounter after his boat trailer was vandalized. Legal records indicate Edge turned to the court system to air a variety of perceived grievances. Among a number of local and federal lawsuits, one from May 12th accused an area church of trying to make him commit suicide because, quote, he is not LGBTQ or a pedophile, unquote. In 2024, he made numerous claims against his parents, including that they falsified a birth certificate, quote, for a feral child, unquote. Quote, plaintiff suffers from war injuries and he suffers from delusions and PTSD. The VA needs to take care of him, unquote. His mother, Sandra Lynn Debevoise, wrote in a response. Debevoise could not be reached for a comment Monday. Edge served in the military from 2003 to 2009, achieving the rank of sergeant in 2007. According to military records, which list his specialties as assault man and reconnaissance man, he had deployments in 2005 and 2006 as part of Operation Iraqi Freedom, and was awarded a Purple Heart, a medal given to those wounded or killed in action. Other awards include a Marine Corps Good Conduct Medal, Combat Action Ribbon, Iraq, an Iraq Campaign Medal with two Bronze Stars, which denote time spent in Iraq. The next article is titled, Trump Offers $625 Million for Coal Power Plants. The Trump administration said Monday it will open 13 million acres of federal lands for coal mining and provide $625 million to recommission or modernize coal-fired power plants as President Donald Trump continues his efforts to reverse the years-long decline in the U.S. coal industry. Actions by the Energy and Interior Departments and the Environmental Protection Agency follow executive orders Trump issued in April to revive coal and reliable but polluting form of energy. Environmental groups denounced the actions, which come as the Trump administration has clamped down on renewable energy, including freezing permits for offshore wind projects, ending clean energy tax credits, and blocking wind and solar projects on federal lands. Under Trump's orders, the Energy Department has required fossil-fueled power plants in Michigan and Pennsylvania to keep operating past their retirement dates to meet rising U.S. power demand. Trump also has directed federal agencies to identify coal resources on federal lands, lift barriers to coal mining, and prioritize coal leasing on U.S. lands. Quote, "Everybody likes to say, drill, baby, drill. I know that." President Trump has another initiative for us, which is Mine, Baby, Mine, unquote, Interior Secretary Doug Burgum said Monday. The final article for September 30th is Trump Threatens Tariffs on Foreign Films. President Donald Trump says he will slap a 100% tax on movies made outside of the United States, a vague directive aimed at protecting a business that America already dominates. Claiming that movie production, quote, has been stolen, unquote, from Hollywood and the U.S., Trump posted on his Truth Social platform that, quote, "I will be imposing a 100% tariff on any and all movies that are made outside of the United States," unquote. It was unclear how these tariffs would operate, since movies and TV shows can be transmitted digitally without going through ports. Moving on to October 1st articles, the first one is AI actor Tilly Norwood stirs outrage in Hollywood by Jake Coyle. Like thousands of actors, Tilly Norwood is looking for a Hollywood agent, but unlike most performers aspiring to make it in the film industry, Tilly Norwood is an entirely artificial intelligence-made character. Norwood, dubbed Hollywood's first AI actor, is a product of a company named Sequoia, which bills itself as the world's first artificial intelligence talent studio. Since the Dutch producer and comedian Elijn van der Velden launched the digital character perspective career, Tilly Norwood has been all the talk in Hollywood, but not in a good way. Guilds, actors, and filmmakers have met the Sequoia product with an immediate wave of backlash, protesting that artificial intelligence should not have a starring role in the acting profession. In a statement Tuesday, the Screen Actors Guild said that, quote, creativity is and should remain human-centered, unquote. Quote, "To be clear, Tilly Norwood is not an actor. It's a character generated by a computer program that was trained on the work of countless professional performers without permission or compensation," the guild said. Quote, "It has no life experience to draw from, no emotion, and from what we've seen, audiences aren't interested in watching computer-generated content untethered from the human experience," unquote. Van der Velden, founder of the AI production studio Particle 6, last weekend promoted Tilly Norwood at the Zurich Summit, the industry sidebar of the Zurich Film Festival. She said that the talent agencies were circling Norwood and that she expected to soon announce a signing. Many in Hollywood, though, hope that never happens. Quote, "Any talent agency that engages in this should be boycotted by all guilds," unquote, wrote Natasha Lyonne on Instagram. The Russian doll star is directing a feature titled Uncanny Valley that pledges to use ethical artificial intelligence in combination with traditional filmmaking techniques. Quote, "Deeply misguided and totally disturbed," she added. "Not the way, not the vibe, not the use." Artificial intelligence is often used as a tool in film production, though its implementation is hotly debated. It was a major bargaining point in the lengthy strike by SAG-AFTRA that concluded in late 2023, with some safeguards put in place to protect the use of actors' likenesses and performances by AI. A year-long strike by video game actors hinged on AI protections. In July, video game actors approved a new contract that mandates employers obtain written permission to create a digital replica. But there have been numerous controversies over the use of AI in acting. The Oscar-winning 2024 film The Brutalist used artificial intelligence for Hungarian dialogue spoken by Adrian Brody and Felicity Jones's characters, the revelation of which prompted debate in the industry. Van der Velden responded to the stir around Tilly Norwood on Instagram, quote, "To those who have expressed anger over the creation of my AI character, Tilly Norwood, she is not a replacement for human being, but a creative work, a piece of art, van der Velden said on Saturday. Quote, like many forms of art before her, she sparks conversation, and that in itself shows the power of creativity, unquote. Van der Velden didn't respond to interview requests Tuesday. In her post, she argued that AI characters should be judged as their own genre. Quote, creating Tilly has been for me an act of imagination and craftsmanship, not unlike drawing a character, writing a role, or shaping a performance, she added. It takes time, skill, and iteration to bring such a character to life, unquote. That statement was also shared on Tilly Norwood's own Instagram account. Posts include photos of the creation drinking coffee, shopping for clothes, and preparing for various projects. As of Tuesday, the account had more than 33,000 followers. Continuing with the next article, European banker lists why economy endures tariffs. Europe's economy is holding up better than expected in the face of U.S. President Donald Trump's new tariffs, in part because the European Union didn't retaliate with self-defeating tariffs of its own, the head of the European Central Bank said Tuesday. Christine Lagarde said the impact of Trump's trade war on growth and inflation in the 20 countries that use the euro currency had also been softened by a stronger euro and by conclusion of a trade deal with Trump. The deal capped tariffs at 15% and took away uncertainty that threatened to delay or disrupt business investments. Quote, a year ago, most would have assumed that U.S. tariffs would trigger a major adverse shock to the euro area economy, Lagarde said in a speech delivered at Central Banking Conference in Helsinki, Finland. Quote, yet some of these assumptions have not been borne out, unquote. There had been limited impact on inflation, she said, and effects on growth have been relatively moderate, due to European governments taking pro-growth measures. Lagarde said that as a result, the ECB's interest rate policy was in a good place, and that accordingly, the bank couldn't commit to any future rate path, whether one of action or inaction. The bank's next policy meeting is October 30th. The bank left its key rate unchanged at 2% as its last meeting September 11th. The European Union's Executive Commission prepared a list of goods to hit with retaliatory tariffs or import taxes, but suspended them once the tariff deal was struck between Trump in July. The reasons for non-retaliation included pressure from business groups not to get into a prolonged cycle of tit-for-tat tariff increases, as well as concerns about jeopardizing U.S. support for Ukraine. As a result, Europe was still importing the raw materials that it needs without hindrance from high tariffs. Quote, as a result, we have not seen a significant supply chain disruption, Lagarde said. Global supply chain pressures remain contained and in the euro area. Bottleneck indicators are close to historical averages, unquote. The next article is titled, UN Authorizes Larger Force to Fight Haiti Gangs. The UN Security Council voted Tuesday to authorize a much larger 5,550-member international force to help stop escalating gang violence in Haiti. The resolution, co-sponsored by the United States and Panama, will transform the current Kenya-led multinational force into a gang suppression force, with the power to detain suspected gang members, which the current force does not have. The vote was 12-0, with Russia, China, and Pakistan abstaining. The first Kenyans arrived in Haiti in June 2024, and the force was supposed to have 2,500 troops, but it had been plagued by a lack of funding, and its current strength is below 1,000. Gangs have grown in power since the assassination of President Jovenel Moise in 2021. They now control 90% of the capital, Port-au-Prince, and have expanded their activities, including looting, kidnapping, sexual assaults, and rape, into the countryside. Haiti has not had a president since the assassination. The 7-page draft resolution expresses appreciation to Kenya for leading the multinational force, but reaffirmed Secretary General Antonio Guterres' finding in February that it hasn't been able to keep pace with the dramatic expansion of the gangs and needs to be scaled up. The resolution authorizes UN member nations to transition to a gang suppression force in cooperation with Haiti's government for an initial period of 12 months. It states that the force would consist of 5,500 uniformed personnel and 50 civilians who would be paid from voluntary contributions. Lornette Saint-Cyr, leader of Haiti's Transitional Presidential Council, cheered the vote on Tuesday. Quote, "This vote marks a decisive turning point in the fight against armed criminal groups that are causing grief for our families, paralyzing our economy, and threatening the future of our nation," he said. Unquote. Saint-Cyr said he was grateful to the council members who supported the resolution and thanked the U.S. and Panama for spearheading the initiative. The U.S. Embassy in Haiti said it welcomed the newly appointed resolution. Quote, "The work is far from over, but this is a positive step towards restoring baseline security in Haiti," it said. "The message from the UNSC is clear. The era of impunity for those who seek to destabilize Haiti is over," unquote. Haitian Prime Minister Alex Dieter Philis-Aim said he supported the decision to transform the current mission into a so-called gang suppression force. Quote, "In the context of armed violence that threatens the country's peace and stability, this new force sends a strong signal. Haiti is not alone," he said. Unquote. The resolution authorizes the new force to conduct independently or with the Haitian National Police intelligence-led targeted counter-gang operations to neutralize, isolate, and deter gangs that continue to threaten the civilian population, abuse human rights, and undermine Haitian institutions. Well, that's all the time we have for today. This has been Jessica with News and Review. I hope you've enjoyed today's reading from the Audio Reading Service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana.